reach your hands to heaven right now. Lord, I thank you that you are in this place tonight, that you are diffusing the fragrance of Jesus, the knowledge of God, the too good to be true story of Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, Lord, that we would receive our portion tonight, Lord. I pray right now, God, that you would move in this place all across the room, from the front to the back to the sides, Lord, that you would continue, you would just overwhelm us with the knowledge of you right now, Lord. Overwhelm us, Lord. I pray that you would open our ears. Lord, I pray for burning ears right now, that the ears of the redeemed would be on fire to hear your words. I pray right now for the lips of those redeemed, that the fire would fall on the lips, that prophetic utterance would come forth from your people, Lord. I pray right now for the fire in our minds, Lord, that we would have the mind of Christ. Lord, that we open ourselves up to you right now, Lord. We don't want to do church or just hear a message, Lord. We want to be transformed into your image. Right now, I just release the fire of God over hearts right now, that the burning ones would arise, that the burning ones would arise right now in the name of Jesus. We yield ourselves to you, oh God. We yield to ask him to touch you. Ask him to touch you right now. Ask him to touch you. Ask him to move on you. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to awaken you right now. Ask, ask as sons and daughters. Ask, keep asking. Tell him to touch you right now in the name of Jesus. I just release a wave of your fire tonight in the name of Jesus. God, wake us up. Wake us up to how good you are. Wake us up to how good you are, God. Wake us up to how wonderful you are, oh God. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. Lord, I pray right now you would draw us to your goodness. Draw us to the countenance of your face. Draw us to hear your voice. Draw us to hear the tone of your voice, oh God. Touch the young people. Touch the old people. Touch everyone in between. Touch the children in the back, God. We need you tonight. We know there's so much more, Lord. We know there's so much more, Lord. We lean in tonight. We lean in tonight, Lord, and say, have your way, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Spirit of God, have your way. Give us more than we can handle. Give us more than we can handle. God, overwhelm us. Overwhelm us like we're standing at the beach and a big wave is coming. Overwhelm us right now. Right now, Lord. Let your presence come and overwhelm. Increase your presence in this place. Increase your presence, Lord. We decrease so that you would increase, Lord. Awaken us. Awaken us to your goodness, oh God. Awaken us to your goodness, oh God. Awaken us to your goodness, oh God. Awaken us. Oh God, we need a touch from you. We need a touch from you. Lord, where you're asking us to go, where you're calling us, Lord, we need an impartation of you tonight. We need an impartation, Lord, to go. We don't want to be weary, worn down workers, Lord. We want to be joy-filled, hope-filled, fire-breathing, consistent, steady, persevering children of God. In the name of Jesus, and that man right there in the plaid shirt with your hand on your chest, the Lord is on you. The fire of God hits you now. I pray for a purity over your heart right now like never before. A setting on course. A setting on course. I thank you that you made him a herald of the gospel. A herald of the gospel in the name of Jesus. God, I ask right now that you would put the fire in his tongue, that people would awaken when they hear the knowledge of you. They would awaken when they hear the story of you. Lord, that his voice would reach the ends of the earth in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for the power of his voice right now. The power of his voice right now in the name of Jesus. Fire of God, get him. Get him good. Get me. Put your hand on your heart and say, get me, God. Get me, God. Get me, God. How many of you are desperate for a touch from God right now? Who is that? I'm serious. There are people here that are desperate for God. Like you have to see God break through. Who is that? Right now. Right now. Lord, I pray for a fresh touch right now over these hands who are up, God. I release a God of breakthrough right now, that no dam is too strong to hold back the floodgates of your goodness. Right now, where there are impossibilities, we just prophesy you are coming low. You are bowing to the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, you are arising and you are shining in these people's lives. They are breaking, you are breaking through for the sake of Jesus Christ. Right now, for the sake of Jesus Christ, where there's broken relationship, mending now in the name of Jesus. Oh, a spirit of humility, a poverty of spirit is coming and it's arising in these situations right now in the name of Jesus. If you're next to somebody with their hand up, I want you to put your hands on them and just release the blessing of the Lord as if you need that breakthrough. We're in church. Either you're receiving ministry or you're ministering. This is the family of God. This is the family of God. Oh, increase your presence in this place, Lord. We can't do this without you. We can't do this without you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you to come and break through. We need you to come and make our minds, shift our minds, shift our thoughts, shift our family situations, shift our business situations, Lord. Come, 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 Lord God. Come, come right now, Lord. Come, come. Come, more of your spirit, Lord. More of your spirit, Lord. We need you. Just tell him you need him. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Break through. Break through right now in the name of Jesus. Break through, break through, break through from head to toe. Lord, let nothing exalt itself above the knowledge of God. We cast everything that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God right now into captivity, into obedience to the Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, you are exalting the stronghold of Jesus in their lives. The stronghold of Jesus in their lives right now. Oh, God, fill them up. Fill them up. Those who are weary from fighting, those who are weary from believing over and over, fill them up, God. Fill them up, God. Fill them up, God. Let the refreshing of your presence, the strength, the undergirding that your spirit brings, Lord, would you fill, 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 fill. Fill. In the name of Jesus, fill. 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 Man of God with the vest right now. I think you stood up as a veteran with a gray shirt on, long sleeve, gray shirt. Yes. I just see an anointing to be a fierce protector over not only your family, but I don't know where you work, if your business, and this flock that you're called to be a watchman on the wall, that the Lord's going to start awakening you if he hasn't already in the middle of the night with prayers to watch and guard the flock. You have a fierce eagle eye, a protector's anointing, and the prayers of a righteous man avail much, and your prayers are mighty. Your prayers shift things. Your prayers drive things out that don't belong. You're a father, and I just bless that in the name of Jesus, and I pray the intercession burden would wake up within you stronger and stronger, and that justice in you that God placed in you as a little boy, that your justice started flaring up as a little boy, that he would bring it and he would redeem it, and you would start redeeming unjust things, and that there would be a mark of Jesus on your life because of the redemption you bring, starting and catalyzing through intercession. I bless you, brother, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I was not expecting that to start. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you. We need you. What do you want to do, God? Oh, we're so thirsty. We're so hungry. Well, why don't you take a seat for now? Wow. I just want to give you permission. That if the Spirit of the Lord starts to move on you in an unusual way, just yield. Just yield to him, because he has far greater plans than anything that I could ever say. And so even now, my ears have been burning for a couple of weeks. And I sense that the manifestation of the ears of the brethren are starting to be lit on fire so that we could hear his voice and heed his voice like never before. And we incline our ears. And so if you feel that hot sensation on your lips or your ears. Just know that the Lord is working in us. He's working through us, and he's training us. He's training our senses. Lord, man. Well, last week, Jordan preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came. Not the great suggestion of heaven, but God himself came. And it's one thing to have the Spirit of God indwell you and another to have him fill you upon you for the sake of being a witness, for the sake of the gifts of the Spirit, for the sake of moving in redemption, that we come under the authority of God to redeem all things, to exercise the authority that Jesus paid for on the cross when he died and he broke through that grave and raised from the dead and is now seated, given the name above all names, that authority. We need the Spirit. It's his vocation to take what this man, Christ Jesus, did and make it a reality on this earth. He's the one that energizes your will be done. Your kingdom come as it is in heaven. I'm trying to practice what I'm about to preach, which is listening, hearing the voice of God. And we're going to talk about ours, hearing the voice of God. And I desperately want us to not just be learners, but I want us to catch what the Spirit's doing in this hour, because there is an impartation for all of us who will be willing to receive a greater degree of attunement of our senses, of our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our hearts, our sense of smell. Man, that's for us tonight. I want you to open up your Bibles to Joel 2. Oh, Lord. Joel 2, that you find Joel 2 in the middle of this book on redemption. Joel, the time of Joel is when Israel was demolished. Some think it was locusts. And you read about in Joel 2 that Joel is saying, turn and repent of the Lord, and he's going to restore all that the locust has stolen. He's going to give you the latter rain. He's going to do so many things. And then in verse 28, he's talking about the redemption, and he's talking about the Spirit of God. And verse, let's see, 28, Joel 2, 28. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward, after the Lord has redeemed all that the locust has stolen, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That was a prophecy. And if you look at all the Old Testament, every prophetic word, every prophet had an arrow pointing forward to one man, Christ Jesus. All the prophecies were pointing ahead, because that's what prophecy is supposed to do. It's supposed to pull you into the story of God, the grand narrative of God. And all the Old Testament prophets were pointing to one man, Christ Jesus. And we see Christ Jesus, he comes on the scene, and one of the first things he says is, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, I came to fulfill. He is the fulfillment of all prophecy. Jesus himself starts to bear witness of the relationship that we are to have with the Spirit of God, the voice of God. He even said, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When he's in the wilderness being tempted, he responds to the enemy and he says, listen, I'm not just going to live by bread. I'm going to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God and every word that is in this book. And then he says, not only that, but I'm going to guide my sheep with my very voice, just as I'm guided by my Father's voice. You know the relationship of Jesus with he'd minister and then he'd go to the mountain and talk and listen to God, and he would commune, so much so that the disciples, they didn't ask him to teach them how to raise the dead or heal the sick, they said, whatever you got going on with the Father, teach us that. Teach us how to pray. And there's something about the relationship with God and the voice of the Father that Jesus, who was with him from the foundation of the world, before Genesis times a trillion, but I mean, more than any number, he was with the Father. He's now on earth, separated from the Father, but not. And then you get a glimpse of what Jesus thinks when he says, it's better that I go, because I don't want you to have to rely on me to hear the Father. Now I'm going to send the one whose vocation is to open our ears, to teach us all that the Lord is saying, all that he's done, how to even read the Word of God. He opens up this realm that is so much bigger than we see and that we know. And you think about this. John 10, one of the most quoted scriptures, he says that my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name and they follow me. And if you were to do this, this is a true story. If you were to go out to a shepherd, a sheepfold with a bunch of sheep, does anybody shepherd actually? I'm going to say, maybe you can teach us. You can verify this. You can fact check me. You're standing on a sheepfold and you see the sheep. You could ask the shepherd, okay, what kind of sounds do you make? What words do you say? And you could imitate exactly what that shepherd says, and those sheep won't even look up. Their ears won't even twitch. You could call somebody else that maybe has a deeper voice, like the shepherd. They won't look up. Their ears won't twitch. And the shepherd comes on the scene, and he starts making the same sound. And the sheep, it's like something awakens them, because they know the voice of the shepherd. Their ears turn, their heads come up, they start baying, and they start rushing to the shepherd. That is our design. When Jesus was saying, my sheep hear my voice, he's not saying my sheep have to strain and work really hard and strive. Have you ever wondered why we have two ears and eyes and a mouth? Like, it's because we're supposed to commune with God. It's like this easy yoke that he has. And this is part of the Spirit's vocation, is my sheep hear my voice, and they do not know the voice of a stranger. And when he speaks, it is one of the most beautifully foundational parts of relationship, because he's always speaking. He's always wooing. He's always correcting, lifting, comforting, encouraging. He's always speaking, drawing us deeper into his heart, into the image of God. He's awakening to us that God is near. He's spoken in all the prophets, and we have the very recorded life of Jesus in this book. And he's saying, you're designed to connect with me, because he wants intimacy with his people. So the question is do we have ears to hear? Do we have ears to hear? Have you ever wondered why in John 12, Jesus is about to tell his disciples that he's going to go? And he's actually in a lot of pain and agony. And he's saying, I'm going to glorify my Father. Lord, glorify your name. He's telling his disciples the time has come, the hour has come. And then it says, out of heaven, a voice came and said, I need like a really deep voice. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And some people thought it thundered. Have you ever wondered? Like I read that and I think, okay, Lord, if I was with you and the sky opened up and you spoke, I want to hear your words. I don't want my ears to perceive thunder, a natural thing. I want to perceive your very voice. And I want to connect this to us, because when Jesus is talking about the parable of the soils, he starts talking about the conditions of the heart. And in the very end of that, he says, but I speak in parables because our hearts are hard, our ears are dull, and our eyes are closed. But you, not so. You have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. You have a heart that perceives. In fact, all the prophets of old longed to hear and see what you're hearing. Let he who has ears hear. And then he describes the parable of the soil. Can I submit to you that the condition of the soil of our heart is congruent with how well we are tuned into the voice of God. The condition of the soil of our heart is tuned in on, if I read the same sentence over and over, this is me now. If I read the same sentence over and over and over again, I'm like, what did I just read? I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to shake this off because you're always speaking. You're always speaking. He might be speaking in a different way, but he's always speaking. And can I tell you, the Lord's never not speaking. I don't know a good dad who gives his kids silent treatment. He might be speaking in a different way. He might be saying, hey, I want to meet you here. Or, hey, I want to meet you when you're praying. Hey, I want to meet you in a different way. But he's always speaking. And I want to say that our attention is fuel. Where we put our attention is fuel for anything. So what our eyes see, oh, it captivates us. What our hearts lean into and what we give attention to in our hearts, that influences us, whether good or bad. Our ears, what we give ears to hear, where we incline our ear, that actually creates an attention. Like attention is the fuel, and attention creates an awareness. And almost a year ago now, I started smelling the fragrance of God. And then in February, the fragrance of God came, and I'm even praying tonight that the fragrance of God would diffuse the knowledge of Jesus in this entire place, so much so that every single week since February, I've smelled an intoxicating fragrance of God. So much so that my attention now is tuned in, where I actually stop worshiping so I can smell. And my senses are being tuned to the knowledge of God. And let me just go a little bit deeper, because I even perceive some of us are like, why a fragrance? Well, one of the fragrances was cinnamon, which is like cassia, which is according to, now I'm forgetting the scripture, Song of Solomon 4, I believe, talks about cassia and it anointing the wedding garments with cassia. And the smell of cassia was reminding me of my bridegroom king. The smell of cotton candy. It's like the Lord was awakening me to the fact that he's actually way better than I know. In fact, I get emotional when I smelled the fragrance of God first minute in this service tonight. And I get emotional because he's already spoken so much through his word. He doesn't need to speak anymore. He's already said so much. And yet, he goes above and beyond to speak to his children because he wants relationship with us. Isn't he so good? He is so good. And we're designed to be tuned in to the voice of God, which opens us up to the realms of God, which opens us up to the redemption of God. Do you see how that works? And so I want to give you, everyone asks me, like, what are the practicals? What can I do? And so I'm going to give you some practicals. So here's some homework. Don't look at me like that. Here's your homework. There was an author. I like that. There was an author that said, let's play a game. And I've played it a few times, and hopefully you can do it during church. But he said, take 60 minutes. And in 60 minutes, every minute on the minute, Imam, for all of our worker outers, how aware are you of God? And so you can practice it in the next 30 minutes. Hopefully you'll be batting high. But he said, even in his, like a church setting, he only hit 50 minutes. And it's just a reminder, like, how aware are we with God? How much room do we make for these two-way conversations? I'm having a conversation, and yet I'm listening. I'm reading the Word of God, and yet I'm listening. It's like these two-way conversations that are always happening. And the Lord's like, let's increase our awareness. Let's increase the discernment of our senses. And Hebrews 5, in fact, Josh, when he preached here a couple weeks ago, he actually quoted this scripture. Hebrews 5, I believe verse 14, says that we can actually train our senses to discern both good and evil. And that training means we can take it to the gym. We can train our ears. We can train our eyes. We can train by reading the word and practicing being good listeners. And that's my second part of homework. Sit before the Lord in silence and be a listener. And then pray and listen, because there's nothing like the cultivation of our ears through prayer. And now I feel like this is such a beautiful treasure, because did anybody go to school and have like a monotone professor? Did you know that God doesn't speak that way? He's a perfect communicator. He's dynamic. He speaks in so many different ways. According to Joel 2, dreams and visions, an inward a prompting, a knowing, you're being led by compassion. You might have a thought or a drive-by thought. It might be a vision or a picture that you get. It might be when you're reading the word of God, something just leaps off the page. You're like, oh my gosh, this is a vortex of revelation. Thank you, Spirit of God. He speaks in so many different ways. And I want to create like this appetite that we hear from God, and we hear from God in many, many different ways. Many different ways, because the Spirit of God is so dynamic. And you think about before the foundation of the world, the Spirit of God said, I'll go and I'll fill our people. And my vocation, my very job, will be to take what Jesus did and speak it, reveal it, disclose it to my people. And so it's an inner communication. If we have ears to hear, this is what we're designed for. It's an inward knowing. Sometimes the audible voice of God comes. In fact, I feel bad, because this is like, I was drawn into Christianity because the audible voice of God came to me at a party when I was not seeking the Lord. I was far from the Lord. And so one of my core convictions is he's always speaking. He's never not speaking, even to the lost, even to the ones who aren't wanting him. He speaks, and there's something about his voice that awakens us. It awakens us. So I want us to do something real quick. We sang the song, Ephesians 1, of spirit of wisdom and revelation. Would you give me the spirit of revelation? Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that my eyes would be flooded with light, that I would know the hope of his calling. And here's verse 18, that I would know the riches of the glorious inheritance God gets in you. God gets in us. So I want you to close your eyes right now. I promise I won't throw anything. This is a safe place. Mostly. And I want you to ask God right now, what is my inheritance? What is your inheritance in me? Lord, what is your inheritance in me? And this is something you can ask for yourself. You can ask for your spouse. You could ask for your family, for your city, for your workplace. You can ask for this church. And just, this is a little quick, but just for the sake of time, how many of you would say you saw a picture? How many of you had a thought? How many of you had just a feeling, a vision, picture? How many of you just like knew? Did I miss any? How many of you saw an angel of the Lord just talk to you? I'm looking for my seers. And isn't that beautiful? I want you to practice doing these things, asking God these things, asking God for both you and for other people. But can I tell you a quick testimony? How many of you, just be honest, would you say you're not quite sure you hear from God that well. Okay, thank you for being honest. I just want to exhort you who raise your hand. Most people who say this are knowers. Because when somebody says, oh, I heard from God, I saw this vision, I had this dream, I got this picture, you know, had this wild experience. And when you say you heard from God, you just say, well, I just knew. There's like nothing concrete to point to. And you say, I just knew. And that is a powerful gift of discerning on the inside. That is the way God speaks. And can I tell you a testimony? I wish it was mine, but it was my husband Scott's. And this was back when we had our business. He had, and forgive me because you guys have heard this story. Some of the prophetic team has heard this story. But Scott was at a hospital. We used to supply medical stuff. And he pulls in and he just had a knowing to get out of his car. That's it. Just a knowing. So he gets out of his car. He ends up meeting a man who is our competitor from Seattle. And he starts talking with him. And he's like, man, Scott, my life is in trouble. My wife and I are in a process of a divorce. 4 of my children are in treatment. And my life is in shambles. And he was from another religion. And Scott said, okay. Starts preaching the gospel to him. And then he has him download the Bible app on his phone. And he said, I want you to read John. The guy had to catch a plane back to Seattle. He said, I want you to read John. And I want you to ask Jesus to make himself real. So prayed for him. He left. Was it 6 weeks later? 3 months? 3 months later, we get a call on a Sunday morning. We were just hanging out at the house. And he put him on speakerphone. He was like, so-and-so. And you could hear loud music in the background. He's like, what are you doing? And the man said, man, I met Jesus. I got on the plane. I started reading the book of John. And I met Jesus. And now my wife and I are sitting. We're in church right now. That's the worship that you hear in the background. In fact, my whole family takes up the entire row. My wife and I are together. My 4 children are doing well. They all gave their lives to the Lord. All from a knowing. So listen, it doesn't have to be sensational. It could be so simple, like turn left. Oh, okay, I'm going to turn left, turn right. Like the Lord has so much redemption in the palm of his hand that he can just speak a whisper and you don't know what the effects. You don't know the ripple effect of hearing and heeding the voice of God. So if you're a knower, you know with the Lord. You own your knowing. And you hear from God. So don't feel the pressure of the comparison of like, oh, I don't shake when the Lord speaks to me. I want to just like fortify the fact that you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God and you hear his voice. Okay, that was, all right. So Acts 2, would you turn there real quick? I gotta land and I'm not even at the best part yet. Come on. Acts 2. Pentecost. Hey. The Spirit of the Lord comes, and the disciples are acting as if they have been drinking, because all the observers are like, what time is it? And Peter's like, no, this isn't what you think. They're filled with 15 different languages and tongues. They're filled with a fire of God. They're filled with this zealous boldness for the sake of Jesus, because Jesus had told them to wait. Don't go anywhere. Be filled with power. And this is Peter giving context in verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says the Lord, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Does this sound familiar? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my men servants, my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall... Oh, honey. And they shall...
Prophesy.
Raise your hand if you're a son or you're a daughter. Okay, you qualify for prophecy. Hearing God's voice for us is paramount. It's the foundation of our relationship. Hearing the voice of God for others is how we are a worker of the kingdom of God. It's how we move in redemption, because you just don't know when that knower tells you to get out of the car who exactly you're going to come into. You don't know what seeds are going to be planted. You don't know how this is going to draw people into the story of God. And so And so prophecy is for all people, and it requires us to earnestly desire. Earnestly desire. Let me just unpack this. Prophecy is inclining our ear to what God is saying, either right here, inclining our ear through the Spirit of God, and releasing either through intercession or a spoken word, the word of the Lord. It's divine. It's divine utterance. It's inspired speech. It awakens people to Jehovah Ra, the God who sees. It awakens people that there's a massive narrative happening that's far bigger that we all are made for. Prophecy is for all people. According to 1 Corinthians 14, it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I'm gonna push the foot on the gas pedal, but I'm gonna offer a prophetic discipleship class in February that we've had with our team, but we're gonna open it up to the church. So if you want deeper, if you want more training, because there isn't a lot of formal training on this, and I really don't want us to learn like I did from the School of Hard Knocks. But we'll be offering this. But edification, it's words that build. Edifice is a building term. It's words that create a foundation, a landing strip, shoring up things. It strengthens. The Lord is for you. For if he is for you, who can be against you? He's saying, stand strong. Stand strong. Don't give in. Believe the Lord. Keep believing the Lord. Then there's exhortation. Exhortation is like the summoning, the calling near, the beckoning to God, the encouraging, the inspiring. And so you say, wow, do we know how big God is? These exhortation words awaken us to this big, big God. That not only is he big, but he's for us. And we have two of the strongest exhortation gifts in this house, in Debbie and her daughter Tisha, who's not here. So if you need some impartation of courage, you just go rub shoulders with those two, and I'm sure there's more. But those two, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I am on top of the world with God right now. I am really seated in heavenly places. And then there's comfort, the assurance that God loves us and is with us and is for us. All of those are wrapped up in the heart of prophecy. Now, lastly, I want you to turn to Revelation 19. We're going to land it. This is why Paul said he wishes everyone would prophesy. Because it's such a strengthening, edifying gift. It's such a awakening, eye-opening gift. Revelation 19, this is the end of the story. This is the culmination of every prophetic word ever said from the beginning of time. This is when the marriage supper of the Lamb, when prophecy will actually be done away. We will not need it then because we will see in full. And I can hardly even read this, but the angel of the Lord is talking to John in Revelation 19, and he's describing the worship, the wedding supper. He's saying the bride has made herself ready. She is spotless and beautiful and blameless, and she's ready for the bridegroom. And it's so beautiful. There's so much worship that John falls down to worship the angel, and this is verse 10. Revelation 19, 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you don't do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is this saying? This is saying that the essence, the focal point, the end game, the whole point of prophecy is found in the testimony of Jesus Christ. I really love hearing who people are. I love scooping up the sand on the seashore to get a thought of God over people. But people are asking, who is Jesus? What is he like? What has he done? What is he doing? What is he going to do? How do I fit into that? What's the grand narrative of this story? Why am I alive? Why am I wanting more and bigger things? And why do I have this insatiable hunger? The testimony of Jesus is prophecy. So all prophecy should turn and make us worship God. All prophecy should awaken us. This, all prophecy has an arrow pointing up and an arrow pointing forward, because it pulls us into the story of God and it pulls us forward into the story of God. And there's things that we need to be prophesying, because there's things that have not yet been birthed. There are things that we do not yet see. And the prophetic word of the brethren will create and form and fashion things from the mouth of God through our mouths. And listen, I'm telling you, this is why it's so important not to despise prophecy. We can't despise prophecy. We can't treat it as casual or common or suggestive. We can't, according to 1 Corinthians 5, he says, don't quench, or 1 Thessalonians 5, don't quench the spirit, don't despise prophecy, but hold fast to what is good. We have to know the potential of the seed, that every time we speak a seed, there's grace within it to accomplish the thing that God gave it to you for. And I'm telling you, I just want you to say, like, you have permission in this house. You have permission. You don't need, it's not for super special people. It's not for more anointed people. This is for all people. And the testimony of Jesus, what he's done, what he's doing, what he did on the cross. You just catch that and you release it. And all of a sudden, it's like there's power in the gospel. It's like there's power in the name of Jesus. It's like there's a reality that's like so much more real and powerful and potent than that which we know. And it's like time to awake. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And I'm giving a strong word. If you are in a camp where you are judging prophecy, I want you to repent. We don't have time. We don't have time to turn against each other. It's time to repent and say, you know what? That might have been a bad word, but I love you and I'm going to tell you about it, because I'm a powerful person and I do weigh the word and I steward it. But I'm also going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm also going to take this word and I'm going to meet with counsel, and I'm going to weigh this with God. I'm going to line up the scripture and I'm going to say, you know what? This is mine. This is mine. I'm going to humbly give an offering, and I'm going to humbly receive the offering, knowing that both are powerful. So if somebody comes and says, you need to give me all your money, you can say, I love you, but I'm going to go ahead and flush that or shelf it, because we have stewardship and partnership. But I'm telling you right now, there is a purity coming to the prophetic movement. It's actually here. There is a purity where the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There is a purity when prophets or people who are operating a prophecy open their mouths. God is known. God is experienced. God is unleashed. Redemption. How do you know it's from God? It's redemptive. I have so much to say, but you'll just have to come back for the discipleship class. You get to prophesy. You get to hear God. You get to receive words and steward them and be powerful. You get to tell people in humility what God is saying. And some of you, I feel so strongly tonight that you're going to get a burden of intercession. And one of the testimonies that came, Scott and I were talking about, was, has anybody heard of the Hebrides Revival? Hebrides Revival started two women, sisters, 82 and 84, started crying out to the Lord. Crying out to the Lord, praying. And they got a word from God. Isaiah 44, you who are thirsty, I will pour out water. And they took that word for themselves as a prophetic utterance and kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. And one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world happened because these two women stewarded a prophetic word in intercession. Some of you, God tonight is birthing a burden for intercession. It's a prophetic intercessory gift. Some of you, the Lord is saying, I want you to step out in courage. I want you to take risks. And I'll tell you this story. A couple of years ago, actually it might have been more recent than that, but somebody introduced me to a visitor here, and they gave me this like glowing introduction. And I thought I had a word of knowledge with a word of prophecy. So I was like, hey, does this make sense to you? And he's like, no, not at all. And I was like, well, okay. So I just like pivoted a little bit and I was like, okay, well, does this make sense to you? And he's like, no, not at all. And I was like, okay, listen, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to River House. And he patted me on the shoulder and he goes, good job trying. And that's without patronizing. That's what the Lord's saying. Good job. I want you to try. I want you to move in my character. I want you to move in my word. And if you miss a detail, as long as you move in his character, there's not a mess to clean up. We can get the details wrong, but listen, he loves risk. And so I, simple, big, whatever it is, tell the Lord you're available. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I'm going to invite a pianist or a guitarist up, and I'm going to invite my friends Bo and Lauren up, and I want you right now to just close your eyes and open your hands, because the Lord is going to minister, and I want you to tell the Lord right now, I just want you to confess if you feel like numb in your ears or your eyes or your heart. I want you to ask him to touch you so that you can hear him more acutely. The Lord is training our senses, and hearing the voice of God is our portion. I want you to ask the Lord right now to touch your senses. And if you need to repent for any judgment against the prophetic, I just want you to confess that to the Lord. Ask the Lord to purify your heart and not despise prophecy, but to gain the value system of heaven, of truly why he said it would be great if all of you did that. And I just release right now the prophetic utterance gifting over every person who hears my voice right now. And I come against the lie of every disqualifying thought, every disqualifying lie that says, oh, this is for someone else. And we just receive the gift of your voice right now for us and for others. Lord, I pray right now that you would increase your presence, Lord, that the fragrance of your presence would disciple us, that your voice would disciple us, Lord, that your thoughts would be implanted in our thoughts, Lord, that you would come and you would empower your people to hear your voice. Lord, I thank you for a pure prophetic company where the testimony of Jesus abounds in this place, and we gain a reputation in this region for the testimony of Jesus multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Lord, that they would be like a ripple effect, a fire that cannot be quenched. Lord, I pray right now that the testimony of Jesus would abound in this place, and that you would awaken us to the power of you, oh God, the grandness of your story, oh God, the greatness, pull us up, pull us forward. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch our tongues, touch our lips, Lord. And I just want to say, if your lips are burning or your ears are burning, I want you to come forward. If you feel like there's a burning in your heart, I want you to come forward. And I want you to stay listening for a second. And my friends here are going to release an exhortation. They've heard from heaven. They've heard from heaven. And I want you to pull from God right now. I want you to just receive with joy and humility the voice, the words of God. Don't treat this as casual, but treat this as potential, like a treasure. And so I want you just to lean in, lean in.
Yeah, as I was praying for this exhortation earlier this week, and I felt the Lord give me this word primarily over my young adults, myself and this young adult generation that's being raised up in this church. But I also just want to give anyone permission that's feeling their heart resonate with this word and this exhortation to respond, to also receive. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Young adults, this generation will be known for its unwavering zeal, not just a fleeting passion, but a lasting fire that impacts both the generations before us and those to come. I see multitudes of young adults gathered, speaking words that set ablaze with power, reigniting the hearts of those whose flames have dimmed. This is a generation that knows beyond any doubt the redemptive hope of the gospel, a generation that cannot rest while there are still souls who do not know the one true living God. This is a generation where leaders are being born. The time is now. The time is now. Spirit of God, I pray that leaders in this generation will rise up. Let gospel preachers step forward. Let shepherding hearts gather, and would prophetic voices loosen their tongues. May the potency of the gospel flow through our veins, and let the zeal that defines young adults be the oil in our lamps, illuminating the hill for this generation to see. I sense a deep call towards embracing a heart posture of holiness. May the desire of our hearts as young people not be tied to things of this world, but may we recognize the cost of living a holy and sanctified life. Would we be a Romans 8 people where we would set our minds on the things of the Spirit? Let us be a generation that counts the cost and deems it worthy. Spirit of God, draw us young adults into a life of consecration dedicated unto you. I speak against the lie that age is a barrier, that age is a preventative. I declare that this generation will be a generation of Timothys. The time is now for young leaders to rise up and step into the roles the Lord has ordained for you. The time is now to be an example for the generations to come, to call the prodigals home, and to let our lives be marked by love, by faith, and by purity. Rise up, young adults, and embrace the leadership we are called to. Walk with humility and boldness under the mantle that the Lord has placed upon us. For 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "You are young, but do not let anyone treat you as if you were not important. Be an example to show the believers how they should live. Show them with your words. Show them with the way you live. Show them with your love, with your faith, and with your pure life."
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Come up here.
So when I was talking to the Lord, asking what he wanted to say, he said, "Tell them stop limiting God." And I said, "Lord, I want this to be encouraging." So he said, "Well, tell them you're encouraging them to stop limiting God." So, I want to encourage you today, stop limiting God, okay? Do you know in Psalm 78, it says, referring to the Hebrews, after they come out of slavery, that they continually, in the desert, they continually frustrated God's plans because they limited him. Psalm 78, they limited God over and over and over. And I want you to know, we can limit God because he wants partnership with us. He doesn't do everything for us. He wants our hands in the mix. He partners with us, and he does not want to be limited. Okay? So what I want to say here is, Habakkuk 1:5, it says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." That verse was speaking about the Babylonian captivity and actually being a judgment against Judah. But Paul brings this up again in Acts 13, and he's referring to Jesus coming to the earth, bearing our sins, bringing salvation. And he says here, take care that what the prophets have said about you, or have said, does not happen to you. When he said, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. And what the Lord wants to say is that this is an ongoing word. What we are about to see take place in this earth is greater than anything we have ever seen. It's greater than we have imagined. It's greater than anyone in this word has seen. There is such a move of God coming in this world. It is unlike anything. And we have got to not limit the Lord based on our own experience. Okay? There are some people who they can't believe for something that they haven't seen. There's people in this room who can't believe for something they haven't seen. There's also people in this room who believe that they've already seen everything. They believe they've already seen God do miracles. They've seen people healed. They've seen salvation. They've seen revival. I'm here to tell you, the Lord is about to do something greater than any one of us have ever seen. So take the limits off of Him. Do not limit Him. He wants to move in impossible ways in every single one of our lives. So whatever it is, go home today, go home this week, ask Him, how am I limiting you? I'm asking Him this question. How am I limiting you? He does not want limits. He's an unchained God. There's nothing that we can do to stop His plans. But if you want to be involved in His plans, take the limits off of Him. Take off the training wheels. Take your hands off the handlebars and let God be God. And He is going to do amazing things. And I just want to say real quick, to back up what you said, because the Lord was so clear this morning in my prayer time, that He's raising up intercessors in this church. It's coming. It's coming right now, and people are going to start feeling the fire of that very quickly. So if you start to feel that fire, find someone who's an intercessor. Find someone you know operates in this, because there's going to be a lot of it happening. And don't despise when you see people walking into areas of intercession and you think, who are they? They don't have the, you know, how can they do this? I know these people. They're nothing special. Believe me, the Lord is using people who are nothing special.
Come on. So good. All right, I'm going to invite my ministry team forward. If you came forward and you, because you had like a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, burning eyes. Well, maybe you do, but burning ears, a burning mouth. But I want to call for, if you are a worshiper, if you are a singer in this house, I want you to come to the front. The Lord has an impartation for every singer in this house. Is there anyone who's not a singer that can play the piano? If there is, would you relieve Becca? I can play chopsticks, but it would take the Spirit of the Lord right out of here. Now listen, I'm going to pray for the singers, but I want to pray for the people who came forward because they're experiencing the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray for this, but also if you are feeling like when you go to hear the voice of God, all you hear is the voice of accusation. All you hear is torment. Is that anybody in here? Okay, so it's the people who are already forward. Okay, anybody else? Now, if you can linger for just a little bit longer, if you're standing out there, if you would stretch a hand and you would pray, because God is wanting to mark these people. He's wanting to mark these people. So if we could just be a big family right now and contend for our brothers and sisters, if you could just pray as if it's your very life or your very daughter or son or brother or sister. And Lord, right now, I ask right now that you would mark all of these vocalists right now in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for the Spirit of God that you would come and you would mark these vocalists right now. Pedro, thank you. Becca, come forward. Come here. Right now in the name of Jesus, I release prophetic utterance, prophetic songs right now over all of our worshipers. Right now, I pray, God, that you would open up up songs of the bridegroom. Lord, let the songs of the bride arise. Let the songs of the bride arise. I say, Miriam, Miriam, arise. Miriam, arise right now in the name of Jesus. Songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance, Miriam. I pray right now for us, the Spirit of the God to come, Spirit of the Lord to come, open, 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 open. We pray right now for your presence, God, to bring your fire. Lord, that they would be describing things of things they've seen, things they've known. Right now, I pray for encounters with God. Right now, over our worshipers. Encounters over our worshipers right now, God, that what they say is real. What they sing is real. That they would write the knowledge of God in people's hearts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. Just receive, receive. The Lord's pouring out. I pray for the prophetic gift over your life right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. John, could you put your hands on him? Lord, I thank you for the prophetic gift on his life in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to preach the good news to the poor, to open up the sight of the blind, and heal the brokenhearted, liberty to captives. Liberty, 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 liberty in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that you're pouring forth your Spirit right now. Awaken their voices. Awaken their songs. Awaken them, Lord, to the knowledge of you. I pray for more of your Spirit. More of your Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. More of your presence, God. I pray that you'd open up the secret place. That songs from the secret place would arise in this house. Songs of the secret place would arise in this house. Lord, that what eye has not seen, what no ear has heard or heart perceived, your Spirit would illuminate. Your Spirit would take us to the depths right now in the name of Jesus. Receive more, more of your fire, more of your fire, more of your fire, more of your fire, more of your fire in the name of Jesus. More of your fire in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you. I thank you. Some of your lips are burning right now because the Lord's putting a sword in your mouth, the word of God, that you're going to sing the word of God. You're going to sing the word of God. And there's going to be deliverance. There's going to be things formed. There's musical theologians. There's Asaphs. There's Davids who are writing songs in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. You're opening up. You're opening up the floodgates of your goodness. And you're causing your singers. You're causing your singers to write the knowledge of God through song. Write the experiences of God through melodies, through beats in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. More of your Spirit. More of your Spirit. I come against the spirit of fear right now over every worshiper. Every worshiper. I come against the spirit of comparison over every worshiper. That your voice awakens. Your voice moves the heart of God. And we just say, arise and shine. Arise and shine. That there's no comparison. There's no fear in the name of Jesus. There's no performance in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. More of your Spirit. More. More of your Spirit. More of your Spirit. More of your Spirit. I pray deliverance over those who are hearing the voice of the accuser right now in the name of Jesus. And right now, I release burdens of intercession. Burdens of intercession. If you want a burden of intercession, just ask the Lord. He's giving gifts. Gifts of prophetic intercession right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. If you want your prayer life to come alive, the Lord is pouring out his grace for prophetic intercession right now. You can come forward. If you're feeling that burden to like groan, if you're feeling that burden to pray, you can come forward right now. We just release the spirit of prayer right now. Prophetic intercession right now. Right now. We thank you that the groanings from the Spirit, that's the perfect will of God. We thank you, God, for things that are shifting, things that are moving, that you do. Your ability is released through your intercessors. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Some of you are receiving the gift of singing in the Spirit. Singing in the Spirit. Singing in the Spirit. Praying. Prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession. Jed, come forward. Jedidiah, come here. Lord, I pray right now that you receive an impartation right now from the Spirit of God, that the fire in your bones would shake and rattle, Lord, that you would cause this man that who is a worshiper to be like a David, Lord, to write songs of you, Lord, that would awaken the generation to the goodness of God, Lord, that you would awaken a generation, Lord, through his songs, Lord. I pray that you'd sharpen his tongue to be a truth teller like never before. Spirit of God, would you pour out on Jed right now, Lord? Strengthen him, God. Strengthen him, Lord. Oh, God, let him see what he's never seen. Let him know what he's never known. Spirit of God, search the depths. Search the depths right now in the name of Jesus.